Who is God? And what is he like? Who is God? And what is he like? We have begun to consider these things together. And the Bible gives us answers to our questions. For God is, and he has spoken. He has sent his only begotten Son into the world that whoever believes in him, it will not perish, but have everlasting life. And what we have read and considered together in John 4:24, Jesus tells the Samaritan woman, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. We understood that if God is spirit, then he is not body. He's not material. There are many other things that go with that. He's not just some place. But there are other things that we are told when we think of God as spirit. Negatively, yes. He's not here as opposed to there, and he's not made out of stuff, and he doesn't have a body like men. He's not a creature. But positively speaking, he is someone. God is spirit means he's a person. And that's why we're persons. And that's why we can know him. Because he's made us to know him. And he's redeemed us who were fallen in our trespasses and sins and dead to knowing him, because our original image of God that we were made in was marred and lost. But now we've been renewed from within, God dealing spirit with spirit, so that God, who is spirit and who made us body and soul, a spirit within, and we're in here, we know we're not just body, we know that we're not just material. God deals directly with us, heart to heart, so to speak, spirit to spirit. But to say God is spirit says more than just that he's a person. It speaks to us not of one who is a spirit or even the spirit, but he is spirit. He is life. God is real. God is alive. But more than that, God is the fountain of all life, because he is life. God isn't one who possesses a character of being spiritual, that is, a spirit among other spirits. He's the only spirit who is life, and everything else must be derived from him. There is no one else like him. He is. He is. He is. And we read in John 5:26 that we read this morning, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And we read why that is true in verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. The Son gives him that life, you see. That's the point, isn't it? And Jesus gives life because he has life in himself. Life begets life. Jesus said when he spoke of himself as the bread that comes down from heaven, in John chapter 6. No one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. John 6, 44 and following. And I will raise him up on the last day. Truly, truly, he says in verse 47, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. Verse 51, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Jesus gives life. And in 2 Corinthians 6:16, in 2 Corinthians 6:16, and then all the way through 7:1. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will make my dwelling among them, and I will walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore go out from their midst, and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of the Lord. And this he says to them as a result of 2 Corinthians, and what he's already said about the Savior in 2 Corinthians when he speaks to us in chapter 4, verse 6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God is alive. He is the fount of all life. The Bible speaks of him in that way. We sang of it in Psalm 36. Psalm 36. Psalm 42, we're told we long for the living God. Psalm 84, 2. God is the living God. He's independent of all things. All things depend on him. He's the one who never ceases. He's always active. He's the one who is life himself, and so he can say of himself, and swear by himself that oath that he takes, as I live, saith the Lord. He says that in Numbers 14. He says it in Deuteronomy 32:40. Boaz, when he swears to Ruth, says, as the Lord lives. David, when he speaks to Jonathan, and he's speaking of the certainty of what the conditions are, he says, as the Lord lives. David, when he speaks to Goliath, and when he speaks to Saul, says, as the Lord lives. And he's now out there blaspheming the living God. God's alive. And that's how we're to think of him. He is life itself. And he's alive. He's the living God who is. He is. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That means that when we come to God, we must come to him as he is, that is, as he exists, and with that new life within, by spirit and truth, we are to come as begotten from above, as washed clean in our souls, we must come and offer him our worship, heart to heart. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. Why? That he might raise from the dead unto everlasting life and the resurrection of life those who have believed in him. And for what purpose? That they may worship now, and that they might worship always. You are the temple of the living God. God dwells in you, calls you your children. We live to worship God. That's the whole cycle, you see. God, who is most pure spirit, gives life. And he gives life to those who were dead. How can I believe? How can I be saved? How can my sins be washed away? Well, life must come from life. If we're dead in our trespasses and sins, we can do nothing. And Jesus says to us, apart from me, you can do nothing. But he doesn't leave it there. He who calls out of nothing life in the beginning calls to us now by his word. The writer of Hebrews says, God spoke, and he spoke as if things that were not yet and you couldn't see already were. And he spoke them, and he spoke to them that they might appear as things that now are. The gospel does exactly the same thing. Dead bones live. That's the gospel. Ezekiel preached to the dead bones. What shall I say? And so he says, tell them to live. And God raised up an army from the dead bones. What do we preach? Jesus Christ, alive from the dead, crucified for our sins. I was dead, Jesus says in Revelation, but I am alive forevermore. What do we preach? What did Jesus say to Nicodemus? He said, you must be born again, but he doesn't say, therefore, beget yourself. What does he say to Nicodemus? Believe. He speaks as if what was dead and was not might be and is and appear to be so. The promises are given to faith. God who spoke and it was when there was nothing puts in the mouth of his servants the words of Jesus, just as I said from 2 Corinthians 4:26, the one who said, let light shine, has now shone in our heart, Jesus. And Jesus said, he's given me life, just as he has life in himself. He is the Spirit who is to be worshipped, the fount, the source of all life. If he is not Spirit, he is dead, but he is Spirit. We can't see him, but he is alive. He is life itself. And the fount of all life. And so, he swears by himself that he will save us. It is Peter's confession, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In Matthew 16:16. Life and living God, he is the source of life. And he gives life to us so that we are his temple. And he gives us life, therefore, to worship him. So, lest we misunderstand, we must fear, lest we give to life what is dead and attribute to what has no life, what should not be worshipped. We don't worship idols. Idols are dead. They can't transmit life. To worship them is not only foolish, but it's abominable. It's detestable. It's blasphemous. For we attribute to what is dead what only should be attributable to him who is life and his deadness to our souls. All false religion that is not religion of the heart, that doesn't understand this simple thing, God is spirit. That means God is alive. God is life itself. God is the source of all life, must be external, must be mechanical, must be just going through the motions, because it's principally bodily, sensory religion. Just going through the motions, because the motions must be what is true piety. Attributing to what is dead. Those things that belong to only that which is alive. Anytime you see that, flee from it. Don't allow the heart to go to it. Don't let the heart say, I must see. Don't let the heart say, I must be stirred by what I hear and see. The heart is to be stirred by grace. Grace is conveyed by the one who gives life. Those inner motions of life and of soul come from Him who gives life and is life itself. Yahweh God and His only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who gives these things. And we're to be separate then from these other things. But more than that, then we can come as dead as we are, as hopeless as we may be, as unclean and feeling disqualified as we may be, and not look to ourselves in our helplessness and in our weakness and in our inability, and we may come to Him who is spirit and life and truly worship. What is worship? If God is life and we are utterly dependent for everything on that which is the source of all life, then worship is principally this: identifying Him as such, and with our whole soul, acknowledging in a very self-conscious way our utter dependence upon Him, and Him in that way, as He is, the fount and source of all life. We are nothing. He is everything. But if that's so, and we are dead in our trespasses and sins, and we are weak and can do nothing, and we are helpless and we are hopeless, then we can look to Him and He will give us life. He will give us faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. That is, not of your own strength, not of your own doing, not of your own working it up and making it so. It's a gift of God. God gives that gift of faith. And so you can ask for it. What you don't have, you may cry out for, and God will give it. And all who call upon Him, the Bible says, will be saved. Everyone who asks, it will be given. Knock, and the door will be open. Seek, and you will find. Ask, and it will be given to you. And God swears by Himself that it will be so. In Ezekiel 33:11, in Ezekiel 34:8, when He promises the good shepherd, He says, I swear by Myself. How can He do that? It's because He's Yahweh. I am. He is the Spirit who is personal and has a name, and His name tells us that as the only Spirit, the life, the person from which all else comes, so that if there's personality, it comes from God. If there's self-knowing, it comes from God. He is life and light. That's why those two things are always associated. Jesus said, He's the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, give me that faith. Faith in what? What I cannot see. But who is your perfect image? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus. Accept Jesus. Don't make an image in your mind of the Father, or of the Son, or of the Holy Spirit, but know there is a man at God's right hand who stands for you, and that's enough. Faith in Him. He died on the cross. to pay the penalty for your sins. Was it enough? It is enough. God says, it is finished. It's enough. I'm satisfied. You can come through him. I can't come through myself. I can make deals with God. I can't say I'm going to be better, and then you can accept me as I become better. But we come to God and we say, I'm nothing. I can't do anything. Receive me, Lord, through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is my righteousness. He made him to be self-existent, to be life in himself, just as the Father is life in himself. Eternally begotten, all that the Father is, he possesses. As God Almighty, the fount of all life. And when we cast ourselves upon Jesus, he gives us that life that can never die. And that is his life. And he will raise us from the dead. Life must come from life. And so when we say, how may we worship him? How may we come to him? We come through Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. And when we hear that God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, this is what it means. God is life. He's given life to the Son. The Son has given life to us. And now we belong to him. And we have life to come. And from the heart, to offer him that worship in which we utterly cast ourselves upon God, acceptable in his sight, and depend on nothing else. Man doesn't live by bread alone. As we cast ourselves on God by his word, we are sustained in him, and our life will never end. But neither does our adoration, does our complete giving of ourselves and casting ourselves upon God need ever to end. You see, it's only beginning. But isn't it so important that we find ourselves together then here publicly doing just that? God, you are God. And I long for you. You are the living God. And I give myself to you. Let's close in offering ourselves up in that simple understanding. God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. God is light. By faith in his Son, he's given us that life. And now we offer that life to him, recognizing from whence it comes and how it is supplied.